Blog Talk Radio.
Grand Risings, beautiful souls. Here we are again on First Sunday, ready for the Faith Walk. My name is Sister Faith, and we are getting ready to go on a journey. It's been a blessing. It's been a difficult month. There's been ups and downs, but I praise the Most High God for being here and still being able to do what I'm asked to do. As with every show, I start with prayer. But before I get to the prayer, I just wanted to do some housekeeping and say this show is not a one-woman show. While you hear the Faith Walk and Sister Faith, I can't do this show without you, your input, your comments, your questions, your conversation. We are on this journey to glory together, and I hope that you will really join me and participate. If you have any questions or comments, please don't hesitate to press 1, and we'll get you in there, and we'll have the conversation. This week's lesson is on Psalms 51, and it's amazing to me because I went back to it several times because Psalms 91 has been working on me all month. But here we are, Psalms 51. Before we get to the psalm, let's pray. Father, Mother, God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for seeing us through the last 31 days and keeping us. We've gone through so much, so many ups and downs. We've had loss of elders. We've had the celebrations of new life. But Most High, most of all, we've had you keeping us. We've had our minds set anew. We completed the fast, and from April, we went to the water. We celebrated at the water. We are now doing the work that we are called to do. And I ask that each and every ear that hears these words, that you would continue to keep them, cover them, and protect them. We know that there's so much to do, and the world is what it is. But we know that in this moment, in this space, we are one with you, and we give you all praise that is due upon your name. Ashe. Well, good morning, love bugs. I'm moving slow this morning. Understand that Sister Faith has so much going on. And like I said in the prayer, we were talking about Psalm 51. And I just got a message saying, really, Psalms 51? and if it was a different psalm, please tell me, because I swear that it was 51 and not 91. 91 has been on me all month, so I'm just making sure. And I can't find my book that had those notes, so I'm trying to work with me this morning. Okay. All right. Oh. Yes, it's Psalms 51. Praise the Most High. Okay. All right. So Psalms 51, I'm getting to it. I look at it in different ways, and so bear with me. Psalms 51 is right here. There we go. This is a song of David. And if you know who David is of the ancient scriptures, he was a king over Israel. He was anointed to be king over Israel. And he was the youngest of 7 brothers. And he was in the fields and he was called in. He was anointed. And he took the place of the first king, which is King Saul. And so King David had a lot of things that came with him. But he was a man, he was known as a man after God's own heart. And so David is asking God to forgive him, and he's seeking after him, and this is where this comes from. This is after he took another man's wife, Bathsheba, from one of his soldiers. And so this is him going to God. But I really want to discuss it because it has a lot of heavy information in it. I'm going to read it and then we'll discuss. He says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, only you, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you prove right when you speak and justify when you judge. Surely, I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner part. You teach me wisdom in the innermost place. Cleanse me with the hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from bloodshed, O God, who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I will bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. In your good pleasure, make Zion prosper. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then there will be righteous sacrifice, whole burnt offerings to delight you. Bulls will be offered on your altar." I need to put my glasses on, y'all. Let's talk about this. Now, David is finding himself in his position. And, you know, in our lives, maybe we're not having adulterous relationships, but there's things that we do in our lives that nobody else knows about. Maybe some people may know that we've crossed the line here or there, but nobody else really knows about what you have done but God. And this is where we find David, in a place where people kind of knew, but they really didn't know until after the fact what he had did to get himself in this sinful place, to get himself in this position with God, or where he felt the separation. He knew that it could cause his separation from spirit. And so he had to correct himself. This prayer, this psalm is about accountability. Say it with me. Can we be accountable? You know, a lot of the times when we have situations that rise in our lives, it's so easy to say, "You did this and she did that and he said that," and it's everybody else. But we have to take accountability for the stuff that we do. At the end of the day, we have to take accountability. And this is what David, we find David doing in the midst of this, taking accountability for his own behavior, his own actions, okay? He says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgression. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He's asking God, we are asking God, you are asking God, I am asking God to be forgiving and compassionate with me. I'm asking God to be compassionate with me in these areas of my life that I need to fix, I need to work on. And when we say compassion, that means when we are talking about compassion, we do not want to be condemning to anyone. Because if God is so compassionate with us, and we, when we go to him and say, God, Lord, I'm so sorry, you know, can you please forgive me? And you are, you mean this in your heart, God is usually compassionate. He usually doesn't just strike you down dead, you know, but when your heart is in this. And so we have to have that compassion for others as we go into God and say, hey, or they come to us and they say, can you please forgive me? You know, try to remember to be compassionate, because God is compassionate with you daily. He says, wash away all of my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Let's talk about sin, y'all. Sin is, you know, this word has been thrown around, and it's a dirty, ugly word when you hear sin. If you grew up in certain areas, you heard sin, it was like the worst thing in the world, and it is for you. I like the one time I heard a preacher say the definition of sin should be self-inflicted nonsense. You know, the stuff that we do, the stuff that's not right within us, that is the sinful part. That's the part of us, the thoughts, the actions, the deeds, the misgivings, the misgoings, you know, those things that we have to really look at ourselves. You know, are we sitting around gossiping? Are we sitting around backbiting? Are we stealing? Are we envious? Are we jealous? Are we full of wrath? Is our anger overtaking us? All of these things are sinful. These are things that do not help us. Are we being gluttons and eating things that we know we should not be eating? Are we overeating? You know, are we sinning against our own body by undereating, trying to make our body be something that it isn't? Whatever that sin is to you is the sin. You know, it could, for some it could be cussing, for others it could be sex, it could be anything. But sin is when anything is done in excess that is harmful to your spirit is what sin is. Let's get it clear. Sin is not, you know, being born, even though I'm going to explain that in a little bit why he says this about his life, being born. Sin is more than that. Sin is not just the action to make a baby, but it's the heart place of it and some of the other things that could be convoluted in it. I'm going to move on. And so David goes on and he says, for I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. He said, I know what I did, God. He's taking full accountability for his stuff. You know, I know, and I got to deal with it every day. I got to look at it every day. I got to smell it. I got to carry it. I gotta walk with it. It talks to me every single day, you know. So this is what David is dealing with. And he says, against you and only you have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Now, the word transgressions means, I like this description of it, because, you know, Sister Faithful looks stuff up just to make sure that she's understanding what the words are saying. It says the definition of transgression says an act that goes against a law, a rule, or code of conduct, an offense. So he's saying, well, I know how I violated the law. I know how I broke the rule. I know how my code, my conduct went against the code. And so here we find David in this place, and he's like, I know I did it, and I know you saw it, God. You know, like, if nobody else saw it, I could have gotten away with it. Nobody else even had to know. No, how would they know? You hear that video going around on the internet. How would they know? How would they even know? But God knows. And so there's things in your life that you know that you're doing wrong, then you need to remember that God knows when we walk in this faithful life, you know. He said, so, and he said, against you and only you. You know, sometimes people feel as though they have a right to speak on your sin, and it's not something that you did to them, but it's something that you have done to God. And when you are in a place of accountability, when you're going, when you can go to God and say, God, protect me, keep cover me, keep me, you know, keep my enemies away from me, keep this job in line, keep the people on the job in line, keep my finances right. When you're asking God for all these things and then you are doing wrong and you don't want to take accountability for the wrong you are doing, then you're going to find yourself in a precarious place because you're forgetting that God is the one who's watching, spirit, the universe, whatever you want to call your higher power. Your higher power sees it, knows it, and is aware of it all, okay? I'm sorry. There's my glasses. I'm so sorry, y'all. And so he says, against you and only you have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. That you know when you got what you deserve. You know when you've been given a spoonful of truth. When that sister calls you and she says to you, you're a little janky right now. You know, your stuff is a little, you're a little sloppy. You need to clean it up. You don't want to hear that truth. People get mad when they hear the truth. When they hear the reality of the situation they put themselves in, they want to get upset. And spirit will use someone else to come and say to you, hey, that's not right. But they're telling you the truth. And so you don't want to hear it, but you know that it is justified. He says, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Let's talk about this real quick. You know, being sinful from birth does not mean that you have been away from God. Being sinful is if you believe in the idea of reincarnation or past lives, experiences, if you have a clear understanding that we come from a bloodline and generational stuff can be with us, You've heard people talk about the generational curses. These are the things, the sins that come with us. These are the little idiosyncrasies that we have that we have to be accountable for and make sure we are managing and keeping them in check in our lives. We like to think of our mothers as these beautiful maidens who never did anything wrong in their lives. They walk holy and righteously. And you know that the reality is that if you ever lived with your own mother, you know that that may not necessarily be so. Your mother was a woman who lived in the world, who she had to figure out the same trials and tribulations that you are trying to figure out and overcome, okay? So when he's talking about this sin, he's talking about the things he came with, the generational things that he inherited. Some of them are inherited. Some of them could have been past life issues. But he's also talking about his mother was dealing with her own stuff even when she conceived me. And she carried me and gave birth to me. She had her own stuff. So I was already in the midst of somebody else's stuff, and then I came with my own stuff. So you know this about me, God. You know what my stuff is. And surely you desire, he goes on to say, surely you desire truth in the inner part. That's heavy right there. Because people don't want to deal with the truth with themselves. When's the last time you took the time out to tell yourself the truth? I think that was my biggest feat, and I still have them day to day. I realize the truth about me, the truth about faith. And when I'm praying or I'm having these conversations with Spirit, I'm like, oh, that's me. Dang, it's all me. Here's the truth. I got to deal with the truth about me. Nobody else, just me. He said, the truth, you surely you desire the truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the innermost place, on the inside. Wisdom doesn't start on the outside. Wisdom, when you know about yourself, then wisdom comes next. First is knowledge, then there's wisdom that shows up next. Wisdom says, hey, I don't think we should do this. That's not a good idea. And that's that little voice that we're always talking about. Something said, it's wisdom speaking to you. That's not a good idea. Don't do that. Don't go that way. Don't sit in the midst of this conversation. Don't break bread with this company. Don't do that. Or run. You know? And so he's saying that. Then he goes and it moves on. We're going to move on. He says, cleanse me with the hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. The hyssop, I had to look that up, that one up too, because I was like, hyssop? What you cleansing the hyssop for? The hyssop is a shrub. It's in the mint family, native to Southern Europe and the Middle East and the surrounding region. It's used due to its purported properties as an antiseptic, a cough reliever, an expectorant. It is used in traditional herbal medicine. But then when I saw that, I was like, wait a minute, a cough reliever and an expectorant. He's saying, get it out of me. Get this part out of me. You ever been so sick that you needed to use an expectorant because your chest is all tight and your nose is stuffed up, everything is stuffed? You got it. You know you have all this mucus on the inside and you need to get it out of you. This is what David is saying in this part. He said, clean me with this. Get it out of me. Get this idea, this mindset, this behavior, these types of actions out of me. Help me cough it up. Help me get it out. Clean me. Get it out. He said, because then I could be pure again. I can get back to the pureness of spirit with you. If I can get rid of these things that's on the inside of me, then I can get to a place where I can be clean and pure in your presence until the next thing comes up and he has to work on that. And he said, and let me hear your joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. I want to hear the good things from Spirit. I want to see the good things. I want to be able to know that Spirit is rejoicing with me, that Spirit is happy with me, that Spirit is, you know, have enjoying watching my life, you know, but I can't, can spirit really be there when I'm not right on the inside, when I'm not clean on the inside, when I'm not doing what's right? How can I be blessed or a blessing to anyone when I am not right? We have to deal with ourselves. We have to do the self-work. He said, and hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquity. He said, please, please, don't even look at what I'm doing wrong. He's asking. Don't mean it's going to happen, but he's asking. Please hide me from my sin. You know, hide me. Hide your face from what I got going on, because I know it ain't right. But he knows that only God, not Sister So-and-so, not Brother So-and-so, not the pastor, not grandma, not mama, not daddy, nobody else can blot out your iniquities. But God, nobody else can judge your soul but God. So don't get caught up in anybody else. Be concerned about what God thinks about you. That's what David is worried about. He's concerned with what God is thinking about him. He said, create in me a pure heart, O God, and a renewed, steadfast spirit within me. Clean me up. Change this type of mindset. You know, there's so many things that I've done in my life that I choose not to be judgmental to people. I choose to be unconditional with my love. I choose to be open. I choose that because I know what it feels like. I know what it feels like to not be there, to be the person who's all janky and messed up, to be the person who's broken and just spilling mess everywhere, to be the person who is smearing my mess others. I know what that is. And while now I'm not going to allow you to smear it on me, but I'm going to be able to say to you, as I say to myself, hey, I think you need to work on this area. This you got a lot going on here. You know, I think about Mama Seven, when I first met her, she was like, what's going on with you? I had been in this place so long that my fire and my passion for life was almost out. And I needed someone who could say to me at that very moment in time, hey, you're missing something. And so, you know, I remember when I first started praying again, this was the word, creating me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. And I chased it. I chased after getting my relationship with God back in order. I chased the idea of living according to the will of God in my life versus trying to live according to the will of the world. You know, the job didn't matter anymore. The home that I lived in, it matters only because I need some place to live, but it really didn't matter. The relationship, I didn't put that first in God's space anymore. I had to get back to a place where God is first, spirit is first, that my ancestors are taken care of, that my life is always God-centered. And sometimes I fail, sometimes I falter, but my goal is to put God first, to teach my children, to show them in action that God is first. He goes on to say, and do not cast your presence from me. or take away your Holy Spirit. Listen, if you could imagine for a moment, if God took his hands off of you for 3 seconds, just 3 seconds of your life, you would be in complete darkness and complete chaos. You could not handle it. You could not imagine what your life would be for 3 seconds without God. He's asking God never to take his, please don't remove yourself from me. Don't cast me away. Please know that I am chasing after you. You have to understand that. He said, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. That's beautiful, isn't it? Restore it. He said, this is after he said, he's asking God to create him a new heart. He's asking God not to take his hands off for not even 3 seconds. And he's saying, restore to me the joy, because how can you serve God without any joy? God don't want you, praise the Lord. There's no joy. You have to have joy. Do you not see that these trees have budded and they are beautiful, bright green, and when the wind blows, they shake all their leaves? That's joy. I'm still alive. You have to find your joy, your passion, what makes you happy. And in God, he's saying, I need you to restore in me that and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Let my spirit be chasing after the joy. And that's after your salvation. That's after your presence. Let me chase your presence, oh God. He said, but, and then after that, this is a good part. This is when it starts getting good for me. Because then he says, then I'm going to teach everybody. He said, I'm going to teach transgressors your way. And sinners will turn back to you. He didn't say, I'm going to beat them down. He didn't say, I'm going to force it down. He said, no, I'm just going to teach it. Because they're going to see me. I'm the example. They see my light. They see how I'm walking. They see me chasing you. They see me loving you. They see me following after who you are for me. They see the joy you have given me. They see my spirit is bright because of you, oh God. And I'm going to teach others about it. Everybody got their own stuff going on with them. But I'm going to teach people about how I turned my life back to you, how I gave my stuff to you, how I was accountable for my garbage and went to you with it, and how you helped me to get it together. And I'm going to teach them. I'm going to teach them this. I'm going to teach them, and this is, and to me it says in my behaviors, in my life, in my actions, in my words, in my deeds, and all those things that was once, in the beginning of this, I said was a part of the sin. But now it's a part of the salvation. Other side of the coin, the yin and yang of life. He said, save me from blood guilt, oh God. The God who saves, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. You know, we say bloodshed, blood guilt. We're not thinking about the stuff that we do that really can harm another person's journey. We can really destroy another person's life with what we say and do. We can, even to the point now that we have this whole argument in our country about guns, because that's the gun is just the epitome of the representation of how quickly we could take the soul, the very life of another. But we can do that with our actions, our deeds, our words, our behaviors. We have to be very careful with that. Take that part out, because if we want to thrive, if we want to live, then we're not shedding any blood. He said, my tongue will sing of your righteousness. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to sing. Sometimes I walk the halls at work and I be humming and singing little songs to myself, and, you know, someone might hear and they be like, ooh,
I remember that song. Or they'll start singing with me, and they'll be like, oh. Have you ever done that? You find yourself singing, just singing, humming, singing. Oh, guess what, y'all? I have a speaker who would like to speak. And we're going to take him because before I get to the end of this, I want to have this conversation. It's a faith walk. Welcome to the show.
Grand Rising, peace and blessings.
Grand Rising, peace and blessings to you.
How are you, my sister?
I'm well. Good morning.
Yes, it's such a beautiful morning. I give thanks for this platform, Grand Rising, to all the family, everyone who's listening. So it's crazy. I woke up this morning and was like, ooh, hold on. I got to make sure I tune into the faith walk. It was 2 minutes before. And I was like, okay, I mind you, I'm laying in the bed. I dove back up. I said, I set my alarm. Woke back up. I was like, all right, and I put it on speaker. I'm sitting and listening to you. And I understand that you always say, you know, we can tune in, we can log in and talk. But the message is so powerful this morning. So it speaks to so many. If you're really listening, not just with your ears, but with your heart, you would know that we all fall victim and we all can learn from this. But my own walk itself, I can tell you that there's so many parts about this song that that resonates with my life right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that mm-hmm. I am making sure that I am very open with my needs, my wants, and my desires. And sometimes we get caught up in everything that's going on in the world that we forget what the laws are or what that sin is, because we're too busy looking at the sins of others that we wind up doing the same thing and trying to justify that behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and in that, you turn around and next thing you know, you're playing in the same mud that she was talking about to other people that they were in. I mean, you don't
mm-hmm.
necessarily have to be playing in the mud. If you're close enough to it, it'll splash on you.
So mm-hmm.
You have to do that. And, you know, you're doing all these things to get yourself clean, to go back and clean yourself again. You know, I mean, it's happened. One thing I had to realize is that I made mistakes, you know, and there's a lot of work that I've done to get to the place that I am. But I also realized that in that, like you said, you know, you work on something and think, you know, there's going to be something else that you need to work on. And once I realized that my work is never done, you know, and accepted that and realized, okay, you know, you're moving to the next level. And when you move into the next level, you're going to have to not only build on what you've already known, but still keep the peace, still keep your joy, still keep your praise, still fast, still do what you need to do. On top of that, and you have more work to do. And it can be tiring. But I realize it's tiring only when you take the joy out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can be physically tiring. It can be mentally tiring. It can be emotionally tiring. It can be emotionally tiring. You know, when you add the joy back into it, as well as, you know, surround yourself by people who can feed back into you, that can remind you of who you are, that look at you and say, like you said, and not be judgmental, you know, because people are sitting around and talk about you. Oh, yeah, girl, I remember when she was doing such and such, and I remember how she was doing da-da-da-da. But the one person that comes to you and be like, you know what, sis, you know, I don't see that spark in your eyes anymore. Is there any way that I can help you? You know, that's the type of people you want to surround yourself by. You know, is there something that you need that I can do? And sometimes we ask people, what do they need? And the truth is, they don't even know what they need. And it's times like that that, you know, only thing we can do is pray. You know, in one of my prayers, I always ask, you know, God to send someone's, you know, guardian angels and protective angels to sit by them and, you know, and speak to them, you know, to have the Holy Spirit to remind them that they're not alone, you know, that they're confident and that they're loved. Because a lot of times that's something that we forget, you know. What is it? Life and death is in the tongue.
Life and death. The power of life and death is in the tongue.
The power of life and death is in the tongue. That's why I stopped telling people I love you to death. I don't love you to death. No, I love you to life. You know, because I love you beyond that physical death. You know, I love you to life. You know, we need to speak life into people. You know? And it's hard because you still have that human side of yourself that you battle with. You know, it's you know, I got sisters in my life. If I get too far to the left, they'll be like, oh, wait a minute now. That's not what we do. And I'm like, what? Oh, well, I'll just be like, hold on, I'm being petty right now. They was like, all right, you got two minutes to be petty. Well, you only got no minutes to be petty, you know? But it just depends who you surround yourself by, what you're trying to do in your life. And I believe that the prayer, I believe the journaling, I believe the being honest with yourself. You know, sometimes, you know, I had a situation where, you know, I was by myself for 30 whole days. You know what I'm saying? I was like, oh, my goodness. I said, what am I going to do? What am I doing? God's like, hello, what do you think you should be doing? I was like, but I'm by myself. I was like, you're not by yourself. You got some stuff that you need to do. Because when you're all by yourself, the only person you can look at is yourself. You can't blame the next person. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you just don't get washed. You can't say that, why didn't wash the dishes? You're in the house by yourself. Why didn't you wash the dishes? You know, so it's different things like that. That when you're with yourself, you're not necessarily by yourself because God is always with you and God is always in you. But when you're with yourself, you have to look at yourself, and sometimes it's easier to look at other people's problems than to look at your own problems. Because if you look at your own problems, you got to do your own work. And then that's where the problem comes in because, you know, there's lots of philosophers out there that they tell you what to do, but they're not using the same advice they give to others for themselves. So my life journey, I do the work on myself.
You gotta do that.
You know, yeah, not just tell someone else what they need to do, you know, and I stop saying, but I work on not saying, well, what you should or what you need to, as much as, well, my suggestion. Or did you think about looking at it like this? Or, well, the words, you know, well, I've read this quote, or I read this book, or I saw this video. You know what I'm saying? Maybe these things can help. You know, so I'm talking too much. I'm sorry.
It's okay. You had to share that.
Okay.
No.
I just wanted to share that with you.
Well, we appreciate you sharing that with us this evening. You know, everybody has their tools. If you've been working with us for a while or working with a wonderful approach, if you haven't, please join us on a Wednesday night at 8 p.m., the same phone number, because we learn tools. We get tools and we get ways. We go to retreats and we learn how to work in this life. So, Sister Unique, I want to say, continue to keep on keeping on, sister. Continue to use your tools and grow and do all that God is calling you to do for you. I appreciate you calling in and sharing that with us.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Yeah. We have tools, and when we use our tools effectively and in a proper way, we'll see, even in these moments, like the sister said, she was alone for 30 days. And at first, she started out with looking at everyone else. But then she turned inward and started to look at herself. And you stop using. Mama Seven says, you need the journal. It's not for her. She don't need you to journal for her. She's never going to read your journal. You know what I mean? But it's for you. when we're talking about praying, you hear Sister Faith teach you these prayers. There's a reason why this specific prayer is being taught. I'm trying to give you the tools. I'm trying to give you a location. I'm trying to give you a foundation that you can turn to that is a part of your toolbox. When we say you have to do your spiritual cleansing, when we're talking about fasting, when we're teaching these different tools and methods to take to get out of these places in these, like the sister had the 30 days of feeling alone. And she said, I know I'm not alone. God is always with me. I know that I'm loved because I'm still here. God still loves me. He still wants me to do some work here. He's keeping me. You know, we have to use our tools. And this is what accountability does, because when you're accountable to yourself and to God, you're going to use your tools properly. You're going to know, oh, it's time for me to get my toolbox out because I am not feeling something. When you lose your joy and you're not happy doing and being and going, and even in the midst of your spiritual work, sometimes it becomes a routine and you forget that this is not just a routine. This is your heart space. It's like cleaning your house, you know. If you ever let your house get real junky and messed up, you'll understand exactly what I mean when you take the time out to clean it. And then you look around and you're like, ooh, this is nice. Oh, this is my house. Yes, you got to clean your house. You can't leave the dishes in the sink, the clothes and clutter all over the place. You got to clean your house. Or you can pay somebody to come in and clean it. But if somebody comes in and cleans it for you, is it really going to be the way you need it cleaned? They might come and tidy it up and help you fix it up. You know, those of us who can afford to have cleaning services. I'm not one of them. If they come in and do that, is it going to smell the way you really need it to smell? Is everything going to be in a precise place the way you need it to be? Is everything in the space that'll be organized according to what your organization should look like for you? You got to clean your house. Amen. All right. So we're almost through. We almost through this. Let's see. I got to put my glasses back on. I had to take my glasses off the seat and then put them on so I could see. Okay. And then David says, I'm going to go back. He says, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. You know, if you're ever with me and you spend any time with me, you'll hear me say, bless the Lord. If there's mess going on, bless the Lord. I'm saying that not to be funny. I'm not saying that to be, I'm actually asking God to be present in this mess. I'm asking God to show up now, right here, because I need direction. Do I need to leave right now? Bless the Lord. My mouth is going to give God praise. If he opens my mouth, I want to give God praise. He said, you do not delight in sacrifice, or I will bring it. If God delighted in just your sacrifice, you could bring it every time you did something wrong and it would cover everything, right? But God doesn't want you to sacrifice if you didn't have to sacrifice. If he didn't request a sacrifice, if you didn't put yourself in these positions and situations, you wouldn't have to offer a sacrifice. God didn't want, he's not asking for a sacrifice because you did something. He might accept it. But that's not what he was asking for. He said, well, if you wanted a sacrifice, I could bring a sacrifice. He said, but you don't take pleasure in burnt offerings. Why? Why are you sacrificing and offering God something that I don't need that right now? It's not even the season for that. There's some times that God say, I need a sacrifice. I need you to get out of your own space in your own way. But there's also times where God is saying, I need that. He said the sacrifices of God are broken. He said the sacrifices of God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. God will break your heart just to get your attention. Don't make God have to break your heart. Don't make him have to break you down before he gets your attention on what something you did. Don't do that. Don't make God have to take things from you, people, finances, homes, cars, jobs, children, loved ones. Don't make God have to do that to get your attention. Don't do that. A wise person wouldn't. But he will break your heart, because when he breaks your heart, he knows you're going to turn to him or her. He knows you're going to kneel down and pray. He knows that now, all of a sudden, you remember that you're supposed to fast. You remember now that all of a sudden you have to be accountable for your own mess. You remember me now. You remember to take some time out to talk to me every day. You're not just taking some time out. You're talking to God all day. When your heart is broken and your spirit, you say you have a contrite spirit. Your heart is contrite. Your heart is constricted. Your heart is in pieces. And you're going to, I remember being a teenager and thinking I was in love. Y'all, this is funny. I know we're running out of time. But I remember being a teenager thinking I was in love, and the little boy broke up with me, and I remember being broken. I was like, oh, I'm never going to find love again. What a lie, because I had to keep on living. Oh, God. But it was me. I was in a place that I shouldn't have been. God said, oh, no, we got to get rid of that. Get rid of that. Let it go. Some things. And then the funniest part is God will take something away and break your heart and break your spirit and have you kneeling and praying. And then as soon as you get up, as soon as he says, okay, stand back up, I'm going to let you walk on, what do most people do? They run back to the thing that God had to break their heart from. They run right back into the mess. They run right back into the nonsense. They run right back into the sin that separated them from God in the first place. The Bible has a verse in, I can't think of the scripture right off the top of my head right now, but it says that the foolish, it's a proverb, and it says foolish, it's foolish to act like a dog that returns to its own vomit. Don't return to your own mess. You can't. He said, in your good pleasure, make Zion prosper. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then there will be righteous sacrifices, whole burnt offerings to delight you. Then the bulls will be offered on your altar. Listen, y'all. Now, you got to remember Zion's the people. Zion is you. You're a part of Zion. He said, give us prosperity. Let us grow and flourish and prosper. Let us have all that we want. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Build up the walls of protection around us so that we are not easily attacked and taken down and broken and raided. Build them up. And then we can have a good time. And we can give offerings that is not just sacrifice. He said we can make the righteous sacrifices. It's a feast then. We willingly give this to you, O God, and you accept it. And you're going to be happy with these sacrifices. You're going to be happy with us giving this part of ourselves to you. And we're going to give you the head of the bull. Do you know how important a bull is? See, my family, I come from a family that has farms and bulls and cows. To get a good bull, a bull that is strong and sturdy and breeds well is important. So to offer a bull means you're offering something that is actually a real sacrifice to you, because now you can't grow your flock without your bull. You know, accountability, understanding who you are, where you are, and what you're doing. If you're not getting it right, this prayer is for you to get it right. I feel so blessed to be able to do what God has called me to do. I thank you, each and every one of you, for hearing my words this morning and for my caller who called in and shared their own personal testimony. I'm full right now. Next month, we're going to go on to the next thing. And next month, we're going to be doing Proverbs 31. I don't believe I've done that scripture yet, but that's what came to me this morning when I was praying about next month. Proverbs 31, and we're going to talk about it, ladies, gentlemen. Let's talk about Proverbs 31 and who she really is. But until then, be accountable. Clean up your life. Clean your own house. Get everything in order. Get your joy back. Let God clean your heart, make it pure, white as snow. Know that Sister Faith loves you, and I'm praying for each and every one of you. So I have like a minute, and I'm going to pray. Father, Mother, God, I thank you for each and every soul that has joined us this morning on this first Sunday. I'm asking that you would continue to keep, cover, and protect each and every family, every household that is present and represented. I'm asking that you will continue to grow us in your grace and your glory, that we would live our lives according to your will and according to your standards and statutes, that sin will not be with us, but to be turned over. I give all praise and honor given unto you, and until next month, enjoy your faith walk. Peace.